This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Acuron Corn Herbicide from Syngenta, which delivers 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than with any other herbicide. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials. At a time of the year when wheat shouldn't be a leader in the grain markets, wheat is sure acting like a leader in the grain markets. Throw in some harvest pressure and, yeah, it's tough for good news to be good enough to push prices higher.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Sam Hudson from Corn Belt Marketing. And right after the news, Varsity Joe Vaklovic from Standard Grain checks in. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Jeez, I thought you were sneaking up on it there for a second.
I was thinking about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But then I gave the quick chip at the end there. Chip Flory. Yeah.
All right. Good to talk with you again, Davis. How's things going, man?
Really good. It seems like we just did this a few hours ago.
But it does.
Psyched. I'm
and
happy.
We had a great conversation this morning. And
we actually really did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeff Cooper.
Liz Hare. Jeff Cooper checked in with us at the end to talk about what is going on with the RFS. And, you know, the RFS, we're going to mention it during corn, but I think just a lot of uncertainty surrounding that is making it difficult for this corn market to move to the upside, too. And soybeans, doggone. The good news that I'm talking about, I think, is legitimate good news.
Okay.
The opportunity for some additional exports, duty-free exports into China, I think, is opening up. Mm-hmm. But bean market had a difficult time holding on to some what were some solid gains earlier in the session.
Yeah, and I was skeptical in this morning's hour, I'm not going to lie. By this
you
afternoon, you know, the coffee's worn off. I'm neutral, okay? I'm neutral on it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll take that. Corn and soybeans, fractionally higher for the most part. Soybean meal was slightly lower. Bean oil posted some moderate gains today. Wheat futures had a tough time moving to the upside. SRW and HRW winter wheat futures, call them 3 to 6 cents lower. Minneapolis wheat futures actually moved to the upside. Mixed trade and live cattle, feeder cattle were benefiting from corn's inability to push to the upside, and lean hog futures. If they were sharply higher yesterday, it's probably pretty easy to predict what they're going to be today. Mm-hmm. Sharply lower.
Okay.
My goodness gracious, the volatility in that hog market. We've got Sam Hudson coming up here in just a few minutes. It's going to be a good conversation with Sam. We've got option expiration for the November coming on Friday. I want to find out if he sees anything in the options that might suggest there's going to be some activity in this bean market as we get into the end of the week.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to it. What's in the news?
Well, Chip, while the wheat market might appear to be leading the grain markets, most say hedge pressure on corn and soybean prices is making it difficult for the wheat market to follow global wheat prices higher. USDA yesterday said 77% of the winter wheat crop was planted as of October 20. That was in line with trade expectations and just ahead of the five-year average pace. Drought conditions in Australia are well documented, but the market is also starting to focus on dry conditions in Argentina, Eastern Europe, and Kazakhstan. December hard red futures were 4.25 cents lower, 4.21 1/4. December soft red futures fell 5.5 cents to 5.18. December spring wheat was 1¢ higher at 5.39 even.
Yeah, the dry conditions, not so much in Australia because, like you said, the drought in Australia has been fairly well documented, but as we start to develop some issues in Argentina in particular, I think the market is going to pay closer attention to that in the days ahead. But, you know, with the way that this weather pattern seems to be changing down in South America, that could change very quickly, too.
Corn harvest as of Sunday was 30% complete. That is 4 points behind trade expectations and 17 points behind the five-year average harvest pace. That helped to support corn prices early in the session, but reminders of slow export demand, uncertainty over the EPA's handling of the renewable fuel standard, and some harvest season hedging turned prices to the downside. For now, traders have elected to ignore bad harvest conditions and likely lost bushels. Yeah. December corn futures were 0.75 cents higher, 3.88. March corn firmed a half cent to $4 even. May corn closed at 4.06 3/4, unchanged on the day.
Yes, some of the video and pictures that are being posted from cornfields across the middle of the country right now after this wind. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, it just I don't know if I'd rather get a planter stuck or have to deal with down corn at this time of the year. And in 2019, you got to deal with both.
Right, right.
Good stuff, huh?
Yeah, a potpourri of joy. Bean harvest as of October 20 was 46% complete. That was ahead of trade expectations, but is still 18 points behind the five-year average harvest pace. Combined with reports from Beijing that Chinese soybean crushers were issued quotas for 10 million metric tons of duty-free soybean imports from the U.S., bean prices posted double-digit gains in the overnight session. However, after testing resistance at the October high near 9.45, November bean futures fell back to nearly unchanged as profits were taken on short-term long positions. November bean futures were 0.75 cents higher at 9.34. January beans firmed a penny and a half to close at 9.48 1/4. March beans closed at 9.59 3/4, up 0.75 cents.
Hey, let's save the livestock because I want to get Joe in here. Joe Vaclav,
right,
Standard Grain.
Get him.
Joe, welcome. How you doing today, buddy?
Yes, I'm good.
Good. Okay, so the November bean contract rolls right back up to that high that we posted earlier this month, and it just can't get through it. Is that 9.45 in Novi beans? I mean, is that it for a while here?
Well, it's really the same. I mean, within 3 cents of where the market topped in the summer, I think the June high in the November bean contract was 9.48. So part of me says this is really impressive because back when we posted that June high, we had absolutely no idea what acreage was going to be. Absolutely no idea. I mean, the yields could have been an absolute disaster. And we're right back to those levels. So part of me says that that's positive. And then the other part of me says that, well, all this China news and we can't bust through the summer highs.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of conflicted here, I guess.
Yeah. What are you hearing from your guys on beans? Is anybody getting into the mid-June planted beans? Because I'm hearing some just initial numbers and I do not like what I'm hearing at all.
I've heard some good beans. I've heard some bad beans. A lot of variability, which is typically not good. I mean, more uniform type yields would be a characteristic of a bigger crop. But, you know, the government's already told us that the crop's going to be light. I don't know if their most recent estimates are reality or not. It's really tough to say.
Okay. You know, and that's where I was going to lead into there, Joe. It seems like, are we far enough into this light bean crop year that a lower yield estimate, it's not going to have that much impact on prices going forward, is it?
I think it could, because if the government's close to reality with their carryout projections and we really do cut this thing in half year over year, I mean, like I've told you before, I think the upside, the upper end of the trading range should be higher than it was last year. And last year, the upper end was 950, 960. I would think the upper end should be better than that.
All right. Very good. Volatility in hogs going to stick around?
Yeah, I think as long as this China thing is a story and kind of a fluid situation, I would expect that.
All right. Very good. We'll talk to you next week, Joe. Thank you very much.
Yeah, see you, Jeff. Bye.
You bet. That's Joe Vaclavic, Standard Grain. Okay, when we come back, I've got a long list of things that we're going to talk about with Sam Hudson from Corn Belt Marketing. And I like the way that he talks about things that he doesn't want to talk about, but yet I think that's a hint that he does want to talk about it. So we might start with corn demand. Sorry, Sam. Don't cut off your nose to spite your face. That's what my mom told me when I was growing up, and I was prone to making some questionable decisions. I didn't always know what that meant, but Steve Gomm, the corn herbicide product lead with Syngenta, tells me that that is exactly what corn growers are doing when they use some generic
ineffective herbicides. Steve, tell me what it is that you're talking about.
Well, we know, Chip, in today's tough market, it's all about the bottom line, right?
Yep.
We've had a few tough seasons in a row now, low commodity prices, and also the perception that herbicides are expensive. So it's natural to say it makes sense to cut costs with your herbicide programs. But in reality, you may find yourself spending more money in the long run.
Yeah, I can see that. Definitely. Some growers may think that, too. The less money that you spend, the more you save. How does it actually cost them more?
Yeah, it really costs you more in two ways. One, on the front end, if the herbicide you put down is less effective, now you have to spend additional money on another application when applying a more effective herbicide at the full use rate up front could have saved that additional expense of both the herbicide and the application costs. And then the second way is on the back end. You may be costing yourself yield. Effective herbicides wipe out weeds fast, eliminating competition for light, water, nutrients. This really maximizes the development of your corn crop. And we know that the best way to maximize your returns is through yield. So as well, if weeds do escape and produce seed, your weed seed bank is going to grow. And now you have something else to worry about next season with the potential for higher weed pressure.
Exactly. Real quick, what herbicide do you recommend?
It all starts with Acuron corn herbicide. We've recently been taking a closer look at yields we get with better, more consistent weed control. And Acuron at full use rates applied pre-emergent is going to deliver 5 to 15 more bushels over other herbicides available in the market today.
Very good. Thank you, Steve. That is Steve Gomm, the corn herbicide product lead with Syngenta, talking to us about why growers may be cutting off their nose to spite their face by going with the cheap herbicides.
Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage is based on 2016 Syngenta and university trials.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019 in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Punchovotivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Punchovotivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2 punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has four powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo EZ Nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Got Davis Michelson with me, and we're getting ready for a conversation with Sam Hudson from Corn Belt Marketing. Before we do that, though, we've got some livestock news to cover there, Davis.
We do. Let me just finish this reply to at Farmer Bob Northwest Mo.
What do you got going here?
Sent.
Okay.
Sent.
What do you?
What are we doing now, livestock?
Yes.
Strength in the box beef market and a slight increase in demand for cattle to start the week is limiting selling interest in live cattle futures. December cattle were 17.5 cents lower at 113.70. February cattle futures slipped 12.5 to 119.10. Novi feeders up 65 cents, 143.50. And on the snout side, yesterday's strong gains in lean hog futures was followed by another sell-off as volatility continues to make it difficult for traders to commit to a position. December hogs were down $2.32.5, 65.50. Feb lean hogs off $1.90, 76.27.5, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's bring him in here. We got Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing. You know, Sam, how are you today, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing, hanging on to my hat still. How about you?
Yeah. Yeah, same kind of story over here. There's no question about it. You know, when I got Joe on, I went straight to the beans bumping up against resistance and setting back, and I never really did ask him what he just thought generally of how the markets performed today. I'm finding it harder. You know, yesterday I wasn't all that disappointed with the way that the markets performed. And today I sit here and I look at that lower range close in beans and I look at corn unable to hang on to some of the gains that were put. And I felt a little disappointed with how the grains traded today. What about you?
No, it's hard not to feel that way. I mean, you know, certainly allowable to see these little pullbacks and corrections in the market anyways. But you know, the longer you sit here sideways and then all of a sudden you kind of get into that grinding pattern, you start to worry a little bit, and you look at harvest progress here yesterday. Corn, you know, wasn't as far along as the trade anticipated. Soybeans a little bit further. So that tells us we, you know, we got a pretty decent chunk of corn harvest ahead of us, especially with the weather looking a little bit better.
Right, right. So are we feeling some hedge pressure in these markets right now? Because I keep looking for some pressure on basis, and I don't mean isolated, you know, it falls apart over there, but then it comes back the next day. I'm not looking for that. I'm just looking for that wet blanket over basis to start weighing things down. I'm not seeing it anywhere yet. Are you?
No, and we've just been too slow to the punch in terms of getting crop out, I think, to really do that. And I don't know that the bids, you know, Chip, are going to completely fall apart anyways. You know, by the time harvest is all said and done, you know, farmers are going to lock it up and throw away the key for a little bit anyhow. But I still think you could see maybe a little bit of a leveling off of that hot front month bid as these moisture levels come down. I think that's been a huge hindering factor, especially in the Western Corn Belt after the freeze kind of, you know, paused things for about a week or so. So, and, you know, yields are still pretty variable. So I think we can still expect maybe some supply side cuts. But, you know, as we've kind of mentioned here, the demand side is kind of chipping away as we move forward, too.
Yeah, I love your note from earlier today. I don't want to talk about how corn shipments look compared to last year, which is a pretty strong signal that is what you think is holding this market back.
Well, yeah, and due in part, I mean, and you know, even on the forward curve too, you know, we want to talk about supply losses, and you know, we're still kind of in a supply-led market right now until we know how China, you know, really pans out here. And the more export demand we lose now, the more corn stocks we have on hand, the less you know, pressure we have to seed that crop next year, and the more acres beans buy inherently, if that's how this plays out moving forward. And, in terms of market action today, you hate to see so many tails left on this 935 area on the November beans, but I think the headlines are still going to be kind of a driver there.
Yeah. You know, and we are looking at some heavy competition for corn demand. It wasn't that long ago, and you know, when we talked about corn exports, we could lay claim to basically being the only game in town. But boy, now with Argentina and even Brazil and Ukraine, there's a lot of competition out there for any of the importers that are looking to buy corn for feed.
There is, and you know, the window for us to, you know, have a leg up on them, you know, especially with the dollar kind of breaking lower here in the short term, basically between, you know, now and February before their crops come out again. If they burn it up, it won't matter either way, but if they don't, you know, we're doing the same thing we did this spring. We're just cannibalizing all this corn demand with the interior processor bid, not allowing anything to get to the coast.
Wow. Okay. How is that happening? I mean, our ethanol margins, they still stink, right? Are we starting to ramp things back up?
I mean, I don't know if you're ramping them back up. I mean, you know, if things were really that good, everyone that got on the sidelines would be back in the party, and I don't think that's the case. I think you're just kind of, keeping your head above water. And I think there's some plants out there on the, you know, wet and dry side combined that can be a little bit more efficient and make things work. But, you know, as I said, it's kind of a day by day type of deal here. And the reason that bid is so good is because it's a general lack of dry supplies and a farmer who's just not real, you know, in a big hurry.
Yeah. Yeah, and then on the processor side, they've got to be looking at what's going on with the RFS and EPA and the Trump administration. Wow. And just I can't even imagine the frustration level of operating one of those ethanol plants right now.
Yeah, and, you know, you add that into the equation with the export side of things, and if nothing changes there and we don't get, yeah, you know, some tariffs lifted up for U.S. corn products or whatever, it just, you know, this demand cloud is kind of suffocating, and it feels like we're working on borrowed time here.
Yeah, it certainly does. Certainly does. I want to kind of stay on this frustration angle here for just a second longer.
Perfect.
Sam. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to get it all out of the way so that we can move on to something more enjoyable in the next segment, I guess.
Got hair on it.
Yeah. But I'm thinking that the way that the bean market traded today, to the word that there's another 10 million tons of tariff-free bean imports cleared for the crushers in China, yeah, that should be some really good news for this market. And I don't know if the market believes that anything like that is going to happen, but yet every week we see China showing up on the export sales report. I don't know what more the bean market is going to need, or are they really factoring it in, Sam? Have they noted that the demand from China is coming back? It's coming back slowly, but it is coming back. And is that being reflected in prices right now?
I think partly in a pretty big chunk. I mean, we can't throw the bean market out the window too much here. I mean, we made a low at 850 there early September. We made pretty much a dollar run off the lows, and in the meantime, basis is also firm too, while we harvested pretty much half the bean crop here. So, you know, I think some of that is already dialed in. What I worry about is, you know, I don't know how, if they've booked a lot of their short-term needs, you know, do you wonder if you have to wait again until after November, unless it's just because of this trade situation? Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like the basis firming, I think, has been a big advantage to guys. It's taken a little bit of that carry out of the market. I just don't know if they're going to keep coming after it. And, you know, sometimes when we see this too, you got to wonder how much of this do they maybe have covered on paper? And once they secure the cash, do they unroll some of those hedges?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think I just kind of realized through the conversation here, Sam, why I may be frustrated with this bean market. I think that the bean market is either factored in a tighter supply because of a smaller crop, or has factored in better bean demand from China, but I don't feel that it's factored in both.
No, or maybe it's just a part of both.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's just part of both, because I still believe bean yield and harvested acreage comes down. It's just a function of what do we do with demand in the meantime, because based on the USDA numbers and pace, we're kind of, especially with these new purchases coming, we're going to be on pace with where the USDA is kind of projected, maybe even ahead or below. But, you know, again, contrast to corn, you're 62% year to date, you know, on shipments, and there's just a much bigger gap to fill there.
Yeah, there certainly is. Certainly is. So what do you want to do with corn? Is there anything in particular that you feel like needs to be done right now?
Well, it's tough to chase. I feel like, you know, for the harvest needs, I was, you know, kind of on the pedal with, you know, 395 plus. You got to start taking a look at that because you don't want to wait forever. In addition to that, like you said, there's just not been a lot of carry in the market to justify throwing a bunch of corn in the bin. You know, if you can chip it off the combine for $3.80 to $4 cash and you have decent yields, I think you can take a look at that. But this gets into the politicking in terms of, you know, each operation being different, because the yield is just all over the board in terms of how it's coming in, dollars per acre, you know, how insurance plays into it here. But I definitely think if you haven't covered some year-end needs, it gets a little tough here, because I could see a break down to maybe 365 and still a rally up to 410, and I think we're right in the middle of the road here.
Okay. All right, that's interesting, because yeah, we've got two different sets of bushels that we need to be thinking about, stuff that we don't have room for on the farm that's going to be having to go to market here this fall. And then I think guys are still going to be looking to refill their bins, aren't they, Sam?
I would think so. The tough part we're going to have around here is we got some river maintenance coming in the next year, and those closures could impact some of the movements and therefore bases.
Interesting. Okay, we're going to talk more with Sam Hudson from Corn Belt Marketing here in just a bit. I haven't even gotten to the expiration of the November options. We'll do that next, right here on Ag.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. Dalaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. Dalaro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. Dalaro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at December soybean oil futures today. After falling from around 32 cents per pound back in February to a May low in the 27-cent area, the soybean oil market has been marching higher. It peaked at 30 and a quarter in August, then at 30.41 in September. It reached 30.76 last week and stalled, but seemingly set the stage for another big short-term pullback. But it vaulted higher today and settled at 30.79, which marked its best close since early March. The strength is emerging while the market's major influences, such as soybeans, crude oil, palm oil, and heating oil, are all struggling to sustain rallies. These gains look especially impressive on the weekly chart, where it's broken out of a three-year downtrend. Bean oil sure looks like it's headed higher.
Wow. All right. That's something to keep an eye on. Thank you, Dan. That's Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, be sure to get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the DC Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. That was Davis Michelson.
Yeah.
And we are talking with Sam Hudson from Corn Belt Marketing today. Before we get back to that, let's go ahead and recap how the market's closed.
You bet. Well, December hard red futures were 4.25 cents lower at 4.21 1/4. December soft red futures fell 5.5 cents to 5.18. December corn futures 0.75 cents higher, 3.88. March corn up 0.5 cents to $4 even. November bean futures were 0.75 cents higher at 9.34. Jan beans firmed 1.5 cents to close at 9.48 1/4. December cattle were 17.5 cents lower, 113.70. November feeders up 65 cents, 143.50. And December hogs were down $2.32.5 to 65.50. That's your quick market recap. Back to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing. He follows not just the grain markets, but the livestock markets as well, right, Sam?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to look at the cold storage report that was out this afternoon at 2, right as the show was starting?
I have not seen that yet, and I didn't know if you guys covered it.
Yeah, total red meat supplies in freezers down 2% from the previous month, down 4% from last year. Total pounds of beef down 1% from the previous month and down 8% from last year. Frozen pork supplies were down 1% from the previous month, but up 2% from last year. Stocks of pork bellies were down 11% from last month, but up 34% from last year. I think it's just a touch positive based off compared to expectations there, Sam. That ought to help us out a little bit.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt by any means. I think it's nice to not, you know, come into a bearish surprise on something like that. But obviously where we're going here moving forward is going to be the real tell-all there.
Yeah, yeah. And that pork demand. I mean, last week's export sales report, I mean, it could have been just phenomenal until we get the note. Dang it. And just as a reminder to everybody,
that corn, though, that would be helpful.
Well, yeah, that's right. It would be good to give one. But just as a reminder, the note was that basically some unregistered exporters, I guess, finally got registered. And that means that they had to report. So there were some catch up sales included in there. But, you know, if anybody, well, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say if anybody dealing with Mexico was probably a registered exporter, but we don't know that because it was such a good number for pork going into Mexico. I want to be all excited about it, but at the same time, it took a lot of the punch out of it. There's no question about it. But Mexico is buying a fair amount of pork and helping us out here.
Hopefully this time in a couple of days we'll be talking about how it happened 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, wouldn't that be something now? Yes. Yes, that certainly would be. Okay, expiration of the November options at the end of the week. Anything that you're watching for there?
You know, the heavy open interest at the $9 and $10 strike as one would expect, but I don't think this market has enough juice in it to go one way or the other to try to seek out something like that. But plenty of open interest in the 920 puts, the 940 and 960 calls, and we kind of, you know, made a run some of those levels today, you know, with the market topping out at 9:45 here this morning. So hard to ignore. You know, you flip over to the corn side for the November options, you know, the 380 puts got a decent amount of open interest there too. So something to keep in mind. I only mention that because of some of these headlines, you know, some of these, I kind of called it the Delta jitters you got going on with these swings in the market can sometimes amplify some of those moves. So there's something to keep an eye on.
Okay. Okay. You know, I would like to think that the market, as it adjusts for the expiration of these options, are going to give us a little bit more clarity. But as we sit here, like you said, we're right in between the high open interest strikes in November beans. It seems pretty directionless to me. I don't know. Maybe we just keep bumping our head up against that 9:45, the spring highs. And the high that we set earlier this month, I don't know if the market's got to make up its mind and go in any direction at all right now. Do you?
No, not necessarily. I tend to agree with that. And I think that could be true for both these markets if we don't get any fresh updates. You know, and keep in mind, too, on the back end of this, you know, we talk about option expiration, but heck, you got first notice day here at month end, not too far off of these November beans, too. So you could see some forced liquidation on that side as well.
Okay. All right. Let's think about the next 30 days. Obviously, we're going to be looking at harvest reports. Those are going to be very important to what this market does over the next 30 days, Sam, and especially what's going on up there in the Northwest Corn Belt.
Yeah, and it looks like the forecast is going to get pretty cold, so you wonder if a freeze is best for those guys right now to get kind of a better start to harvest. And as you mentioned, the yields have been real variable. And with some of the weather we've had of late, I don't think we made the crops any bigger. But tallying up the losses, especially when you add in a freeze event and everything, I mean, those are types of situations that sometimes you don't realize the full scope of that until you get to a stocks report a year from now. So we can continue to cut the supply out, but only for so long. And I think where we're at from a demand standpoint here in 60 days is going to be pretty important.
Yeah. Weather in South America is going to be another one of those things that we're going to have to start checking every morning, because it's going to be playing a bigger and bigger role in price direction on a day-to-day basis.
Sure will. Sure will. And they're still pretty dry in Western Argentina and, you know, parts of Brazil. They went into the season without a lot of ample moisture, so they'll need to keep grabbing it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, going into the season without on the dry side down there is one thing. Dwayne Bussey from Bolt Marketing up in Britain, South Dakota, made the comment last week, if you've got as much water as they do right now in the fall of the year, it's awfully difficult to get a crop planted in the following spring, just simply because they don't dry out. They don't get rid of the water. There are creeks and streams up in North Dakota that haven't been out of their banks. I don't know if they've ever been out of their banks in the fall of the year, and they're running over roads right now, Sam. This is it's a mess right now, but it's going to be a mess in the spring.
Yeah, planting was 3 months, and harvest will be 4 potentially in some of these areas, depending on how weather plans out, you know, plays out, and that will impact things even still going into next spring, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's going to bring a lot of uncertainty into the marketplace. What else are you watching over the next 30 days?
You know, as you mentioned, you can kind of keep a tally on yields. I think it's variable enough here. It's hard for me to really argue a corn yield, you know, under 165 with what we know today. I'm not going to say it can't get there, but as mentioned, I think the demand side is more important for that thing right now. And, you know, every week it just keeps piling up a little bit more. So current pace holds is 100 million behind pace. The one thing I would caution, though, we've talked about this, you know, a lot during the show, but you don't want to get too bearish demand on stuff, and I think we've, you know, seen how that can play out in the bean market. But I think the challenge we have in the short term is it just can't flip fast enough to get real optimistic there.
Right. What if phase one of this trade agreement with China does come through and we do sign it when President Trump and President Xi are together down in Chile next month? Couldn't that be the catalyst for a little more optimism in these markets?
Oh, certainly, especially if you get some of these corn products on the list, you know, DDGs, ethanol. If we, you know, can ship a little corn, some wheat, I mean, that's going to definitely add some optimism. You know, we've lost a little bit of fuel in the tank in terms of market mechanics just because the funds have covered a pretty decent chunk of their short position and now they're long beans. So I think you've got to kind of be, you know, cognizant of that moving forward. You know, this boasts a real potential for a range-bound market if we can't get any of those concrete details, or it's a gradual unrolling of this trade dispute.
Yeah, you mentioned that ethanol going into China. Boy, if we could get fired up on some ethanol exports into China, get Mexico, get the USMCA deal done, get Mexico buying some ethanol, all of a sudden I think everybody's attitude changes toward this industry, and we might be,
as long as none of it has to go through the EPA.
Well, yeah, they'll put a cork in that pipeline, won't they? There's no question about that. Oh, good grief. If we need to just get that thing straightened out and get moving forward there. Yeah, I mentioned it, USMCA. I'm on the side that we're not going to take this thing up we may not take it up until after the election. I've got several bets out there that it won't happen before the end of the year, and the movement is on my side right now because there isn't any.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, and it's just kind of disappointing. And if they've waited this long, what gives us any confidence that something's going to change immediately too there? It's just kind of it's tough to watch, and now we got to listen to all the politicking, all over again for the gearing up for the election again too.
Yeah, that's
and
always
speaking
fun.
Of politics. One thing that I would note on this China situation, I wouldn't rule out what role this Hong Kong situation could play in the matter too. Okay. If China feels like they need a little bit of U.S. support if they decide to take military action over there, the time to how all this comes together could be interesting.
Oh yeah, if they take military action over there, that forces. That forces the hand of the U.S., that forces the hand of Europe, that forces the hand of everybody out there to finally declare which side they stand on when it comes to Hong Kong. And that's going to make it tough for China to do business anywhere.
Absolutely. It could make it tough on the U.S. in some regard as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt. All right, Sam. Hey, we're running real close to out of time here. I really appreciate your time today, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Take care. Have a great week.
All right. That is Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing. Yeah. So there it is. We need to be a little patient in these markets. We need to get a few more results in. There's lots of things that we are going to be watching over the next 30 days. And unfortunately, a lot of what we're going to be watching, Davis, is weather.
Yeah. Whether we like it or not.
Yeah. Whether we like it or
not. I like it. Sorry.
That. Whether we like it or not. All right, me and Davis will wrap this up next.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was the burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have Arc County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill, and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings, and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
Yeah.
The crop progress report that was out yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk just a little bit about that because Sam was talking about the progress in the northwestern production areas, mm-hmm. North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota. Let's look at corn harvest first. We've got corn harvest at Minnesota at 11% done as of October 20th. That compares to the five-year average of 35%.
Ooh.
I'm going to jump down to South Dakota because it's 9% compared to 29%.
Okay.
So 20 points behind. And then North Dakota is only 4% done compared to 24% on average. Again, 20 points behind mm-hmm. behind the normal pace. Jump over to soybean harvest. When we're in Minnesota, we are looking at 42% done. Sounds this year doesn't sound that bad, right?
No, no.
Well, until you look at the five-year average of 81%.
Boof.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yikes.
Isn't that something? 42. I was like, oh, 42.
Yeah. Wait. Well, that's not too bad.
It's only 81. So then you drop down to North Dakota, where harvest is 20% complete compared to 81%. And South Dakota, where one-third of the bean crop has been harvested compared to a five-year average of three-quarters. So 33% versus 76%.
Okay.
Just some atrocious numbers.
Boy, it'd be nice if we could get a report from boots on the ground, perhaps in Minnesota.
Well, I think we'll get that tomorrow from South Dakota. Luke Swenson from the Money Farm out of Fargo's on.
Okay.
Isn't that something? All you did was ask, and you're getting it.
This is what I do. This is what I bring to the table. You're
it's
welcome, America.
Shocking.
You're welcome.
Shocking. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's almost like you discovered some new culinary power food.
This morning there was all my life I felt like there was something I should have had. Could have had. Today I found it.
Bonked thank you right in the head. And
thank you,
got
you produce.
It.
Thank you, produce producers of America.
Yes.
I've taken you for granted, and I'm sorry. No more. No more.
Oh my gosh. Oh, my gosh. All right. Hey, we do have Dwayne on the line from Minnesota.
How does Dwayne. He do it? The kid's on fire today.
Dwayne, how are you doing today? What's on your mind?
Well, it's pretty wet and soggy here in southwestern Minnesota.
Yeah.
Anywhere from, an inch to 2 inches of rain kind of over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and you're talking some yield results here and there, and the wind that is moving across the country. And, well, we had that big wind back on July 20th.
Right.
And some of that corn that's being, the little bit that is being harvested, we're finding some sub-100 bushel yields in that.
Oh, the stuff that suffered from that July windstorm. And that, you know, those scars never went away, did they, Dwayne? I was over there shortly after that windstorm, and I kind of figured, give it a couple of weeks, you won't even be able to tell, because that corn will straighten back up. But those scars were permanent to that corn crop.
Right. They didn't, you know, the initial shock when you seen it broke off was bad. Yeah. But those that just were scarred are showing up now.
Yeah.
In this wind. So,
yeah.
But, you know, and the, some of the silage corn that was cut, you know, the adjusted yields in there are around that 100 to 120. Bushels an acre in that. And soybeans, you know, we probably got, I'd say about 3 or 4 days to wrap up soybean harvest around this part yet. And, you know, yields in general are coming in low 40s. You know, if you can hit a 50 or better, you're pretty lucky the way it sounds. So,
that's...
I took a quarter over the weekend, and they made about 34. It was just too wet for them.
Yep. All right, Dwayne. Wind is obviously the wind's still blowing for you up there right now.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. That just means, Davis, that we've got at least 3 more hours of that stuff before it starts to blow its way out of here.
Yeah, before we find the end of it.
Yep.
Yeah, and I hope that wintry mix they got projected for here doesn't come for tonight into tomorrow. But we haven't missed one for the last, 22 months, so why should we miss one now?
That's right.
Well,
sir.
let's not break the streak. Let's go for the record. What do you say?
Right. Why not?
Oh, good stuff. Good report, Dwayne. I really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Dwayne. Hey, let's take a quick look at the 6 to 10 day outlook, if we could here. This is for October 28th through November 1, below normal temperatures for the entire Corn Belt. And they're not screwing around. I mean, they're talking about, 70% odds? No, 80% odds.
What?
Of below normal temperatures through North and South Dakota, Nebraska, Northern Kansas, Iowa, Minnesota, parts of Wisconsin, Montana, Colorado. I mean, cold is what it looks like, with above normal precipitation. It's that time of the year when you see above normal precipitation, you got to start thinking that maybe it's going to be white. October 30th through November 5th, we've got below normal temperatures across the entire Corn Belt, but we are moving the above normal precip out, bringing below normal precip into the heart of the Corn Belt, and that would be a welcome change. No doubt about it. All right. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Real Farmers. If you think you know how farming really goes, take stock of the following. And now today's tweets at Bark Parks. Are you really a farmer if you don't have an old fridge filled with oil cans and funnels? At A Pastor 82, we like to have a good time. Hashtag that one, the Pastor Cartel. Do they have cartels in Canada now? It's spreading.
Well,
and finally, at Mike Swiderski, one of the best things in my day, dogs jumping. These are the things farmers really do, Chip.
Mike Swiderski, wasn't he that one-eyed thing off of Monsters, Inc.?
I think he was.
Thank you for listening. Thanks to Joe Vaklovic and Sam Hudson. Tomorrow morning, we're talking with Casey Kimbrell out of Texas.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Thanks to Acuron Corn Herbicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer about how you can get 5 to 15 more bushels with Acuron. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials.